We are going to talk a little bit about Nevermind the Pollocks, the book.
Okay.
And we're going to play a little bit of your music. But first, tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, Nevermind the Pollocks is an epic history of rock and roll told from the point of view of two rival rock critics
over about 60 years of American musical history. The main character's name is Neil Pollock, and he is a pathetic, drug-addled groupie who lurches from scene to scene, latching himself on to people who are more talented than he is, and breaking off from them at the first perceived sign of selling out. So he's sort of the ultimate punk/indie rocker, and he's ostensibly a rock critic, although there's very little evidence that he's written anything.
I noticed he doesn't write anything to like page 132.
Yeah, he barely, and even then he barely writes anything at all. So that's kind of the central. It's a parody. It's a satire. The central joke of the book is that this man is supposed to be the greatest rock critic alive, but he's not actually a rock critic. And then the other character's name, main character's name, is Paul St. Pierre. He's an academic professor of American culture at three major universities, a student of the lyrics of Bob Dylan, and an admirer of the politics of Bruce Springsteen, and he's a man who truly understands rock and roll and where it came from. So he represents sort of the scholarly aspect of the rock world, and he's telling Neil Pollock's life story. He's writing a biography, and the book takes the form of that, and he's obsessed with Pollock for reasons that become clear later in the book.
And when you undertook this undertaking, did you have anybody in mind as sort of kind of models of the two?
Well, I mean, the Pollock character is very loosely based on Lester Bangs, because there's no other figure like that in rock history. But he sort of, Lester Bangs occupies this sort of lofty position, even though during his lifetime he was kind of ridiculed and ignored. But now it's safe to say that he was great, you know. And in reality, I really don't think he was that great. He wrote some good pieces, but he was mostly just a schmuck who partied a lot and had a couple of good opinions. But what I found interesting was the Grail Marcus introduction to the works of Lester Bangs. You know, that he was sort of treating Lester Bangs like a rock star who then had to be studied. And I found this sort of relationship between Lester Bangs and the academic rock critics to be absurd and interesting. So this book is a riff on that. It's kind of an obscure thing to riff on, but I like the sort of the dynamic between the critic and the fan, where the boundaries are. And so, yeah, so the Paul St. Pierre character is based on Grail Marcus, Robert Christgau. They're the main influences. And then real rock critics, including Lester Bangs, make appearances in the book. And you have to really, really know your stuff in order to get those references. But I figured it's a book about rock criticism, so I'd include some rock critics' history in there.
And when you toured with you're now currently on tour with the paperback release of the book.
Yes, it's been a whopping success.
and the hardcover, when you went on tour, you toured with a rock band.
Yes, I started a band that I called the Neil Pollock Invasion, because I thought that it would be a good idea to promote a book published by company owned by Rupert Murdoch. I thought it would be a good idea to start an indie rock band that no one had ever heard of. It's a natural marriage, really. So yeah, I wrote the lyrics to these songs, and then I had this musician named Jim Roll. He's a singer-songwriter out of Ann Arbor, mostly folk-based, but he knows the rock. And a guy in Austin, Texas, named Dakota Smith, helped me write the music. Well, they didn't help me. They wrote the music, because I can't write music. And so then during South by Southwest 2003, Jim brought a couple of musicians down to Austin, where I live right now, and so he and Dakota and these guys and I recorded the album in 4 hours in Dakota's spare bedroom.
You recorded this record in four hours?
In 4 hours. Then Jim spent a lot of time. Yeah, we did one take, or two takes at most, of each song, and then I think right when the album was going to come out last year, I did one vocal overdub. But Jim spent a month or so mixing it and adding some elements. So that's why it sounds like a real record, because he worked on it. But yeah, it was recorded in 4 hours, essentially, on a Macintosh laptop in a bedroom.
Did y'all play it once, or did everybody take their turn?
We all played it once. We just kind of did the song. And then the album existed. So, I mean, I wanted to make the album as close to the true spirit of garage rock as possible. And God knows we did, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. and then we toured, and we played shows at clubs. And it was really horrible and really fun at the same time. Mostly horrible because I hurt my knee, strained my meniscus on the first night of the tour. And then became.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah, I am. I checked. Meniscus is a legal word. And then I became a Viking and addict for about a month, and that really hurt the tour, because I was also the tour manager in addition to being the lead singer. So I had a lot hard time keeping it together. It was a tough month. Book tours are much easier.
So we're going to listen to a little bit of the Neil Pollack Invasion.
This is Nevermind the Pollocks. It is the theme song to the book, and in the book it's actually sung by the Sex Pistols, although I'm the singer here.
He mounts her like a monkey. He pisses in her kitchen.